Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I come to you today on this beautiful Father's Day here in Atlanta metropolitan area, and I pray that your day is blessed wherever you are. May you be enriched by today's lesson as you tune in with us today. We want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there and those who stand in the place of fathers. And I give honor to my father, Jesse J. Hutchinson, and my grandfather, Sirs, and Jesse Hutchinson Sr. and Hayward Trapp. We thank God for each and every one of them and what the legacy they have left in our lives. And so we're going to talk today about a message of a father's heart, a father's heart. And I pray that today's lesson will be able to encourage each and every one of us as we look at the relationship that God has with us. And we're going to be taking a look at a parable that Jesus gave about a prodigal son. And a lot of times people focus in on the key figure as being the son in the story. But I want to shift your focus today and have you look at the father as being the central character, because the father is, in that parable, symbolizes the love of God that he has for us. And so as we celebrate Father's Day here in the United States, let us all know and learn how to embrace the love of the Father, which is God. And I believe this will help a lot of people get free of their past. Maybe some people have experienced pain or hurt as a result of natural relationships with their biological father. People may have been hurt or felt let down, but we want you to know that God has a love that never fails. And he is our Heavenly Father, and as we love him, we will obey his commands and we will follow his word. I'm going to give you a introduction scripture that I want you to meditate on. It comes from the Old Testament of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where it reads, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Scripture goes on to say that this is the first commandment with a promise. And how many of you know that God is faithful to watch over his word? So Exodus chapter 20 and 2 can be a good scripture for you to meditate on as you go over this week's lesson. I think it will help you to open yourself up to embracing the love that God has for us and the love that we should have for one another. For if we love God, we should obey his commandments. And one of the, what we call the Ten Commandments, is contained in this Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which again speaks to the fact that we should honor our father and our mother so that we may live long in the land that the Lord our God has given us. And so with that in mind, let us go ahead and get a word of prayer in today, and a prayer of celebration of fatherhood. And even if your father has been deceased, or if you have a good, bad, or indifferent relationship with your natural father, let us all embrace the love of God today, who forgives, who loves, who heals today, and let us be able to embrace the love of the Father. So, Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you honor. We give you praise today. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise and honor and glory, for besides you there is no other God. And we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness and healing today. May your word go forth by the power of your Holy Spirit to heal wounded hearts and wounded spirits. May it bring joy and celebration for those who recognize and embrace and experience your love on this day. May it draw others back to you, that they may be reconciled to you, to experience the love that you have for them. And so we honor you today for bringing healing, provision, and salvation into the homes of the listeners today. And we honor you and we thank you in advance. In Jesus' Master's name we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, welcome, saints, to our Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. It's such a privilege and an honor to be able to come before you again on this day. We had a wonderful fellowship time at the lakeside this weekend. And if you're anywhere in the Atlanta metropolitan area, you'd like to come out and join us in our Self Church Fellowship, which is a discipleship group that meets from house to house for teaching prayer, breaking bread. We'd love to connect with you. Our phone number where we can be reached is 678-278-9622, or you can visit our main website, which is Amazing Grace Ministries, www.agministries.net. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk today again about a father's heart. I want to specifically a father's heart. And as we look through the scripture text contained in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 32, you see what's called a parable that Jesus gave, commonly referred to as the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. And we're going to see as we look at this particular portion of scripture today, how the father that is depicted in this text continued to love his sons, plural, in spite of the fact that one basically walked away from his love. And I want you to know as you look at that particular portion of scripture that we can walk away from God's love, but God's love will remain the same for us. And that's what a lot of us need to understand about the purity of the love of God. It is not based on feelings. It is not based on whether you make somebody feel right or feel wrong. His love is constant. And this is what we're going to see depicted as we look at this parable today. And I want you also to realize how constant God's love is for you. Whether you ever experience love from a biological father or not, the scripture tells us that God will be a father to the fatherless. And so we need to understand, and I pray that each and every one of us will come to understand and embrace the love of the Father today. Embrace the love of your natural fathers by honoring them, as we talked about in Exodus chapter 20, and embrace the love of your Heavenly Father, whose love is constant and never failing. So I pray that you will really be blessed as you tune in with me this week. If you're going to take notes, you can make note of Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. And I'll be reading from the NIV, the New International Version, and I pray that you'll be able to be enriched by this today. So let me read the key or foundational text that I want you to remember, and we're going to get a little bit into some of the context of this parable as we go through. But here's the main foundational text that I want to impart into your mind as we begin this week's study. It starts in verse 22, where it says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Hallelujah. So this text that we're reading today, saints, is somewhat of a conclusion of a more long, a drawn-out story in which it would have appeared that the relationship between the father and his son was irrevocably damaged. And as we look at the context of the text, we're going to think that it was quite unlikely that the final outcome would turn out as such. But the reason why it did was twofold. One was the fact that the son repented, which means to turn back, and the father had an unceasing love for his son. And I want you to know, saints, that we are depicted in this story as we go through the story this week, that most of us, all of us, in fact, are likened to the son who have walked away from the father's love at one point of time in our life. Or perhaps you may be in that prodigal state now where you're going contrary to the things of God, but God, his love is still constant and waiting for you. Just as we'll see, the father was waiting for the son in this particular story. So I think some way, somehow, each and every one of us can relate to the story. And I pray that we can understand that the father's heart is constant for us. His love never changes. His love never fails. It is unceasing. And I pray that once we realize that, that we will also turn as the son in this story turned. Repent is a word that means to turn away from the way you're going back to the way you came, or the way that you should go. In the theological sense, it means to turn away from sin and turn back unto God. And that door is always open for each and every one of us, and I pray that we can celebrate a good, happy Father's Day today as we think about this week's story of the parable of the lost son. So let's start by looking at our verse 11. We're looking at Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. We'll start reading at verse 11. It says this: Jesus continued, and this is a third of three parables Jesus gave about lost things. One was a lost coin, one was a lost sheep, and now he's giving the third one about a lost son. So Jesus continued in verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property with him and gave that son his portion and the other son his portion. Verse 13 says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and departed to a far country. He basically turned his back on his father and said, I'm going to get as far away from you as I possibly can. And again, the scripture goes on to say, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy, verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. This is a father's heart, children of God. We could see that in the context of what we read about today, that it would not have been unreasonable from a human point of view for the father to feel a little bit betrayed by his son. It would not be unreasonable from the human side of things to think that the father would basically write the son off. But we see in this scripture text that we read today that the father felt neither betrayed nor wrote his son off. He simply felt just love for him. He felt love for him before he left. He felt love for him after he left. And he expressed that love to him after he returned. And this is a great illustration for each and every one of us today, saints of God, whether in the natural or in the spiritual sense of things. When God is in the midst of a situation, when we seek to honor God and all that he has asked us to do, and that's why I gave you the scripture reference from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 earlier, because that is the Father's will, that we all obey his word. And here we see that this love that the Father has is unending, is unceasing. Someone said to me, a father's heart. This is the heart of a father. And as we see in this context today, we see that that doesn't mean that all of the relationships are always pleasant. It doesn't mean that every aspect of your life with people in the earth will always be in good in the sense in which we measure goodness. But what needs to happen as we come to our senses, as it says in verse number 17 about the lost son, even though he had basically disrespected his father and decided he wanted to move as far away as he possibly could from his father, He tried to drown himself in the pleasures of this world. He tried to engage in all the things that he thought would bring him ultimate fulfillment and give him the freedom that he had longed for, that he felt slighted by having living in his father's household. And many of us, likewise, children of God, may have turned our backs on God. We may have went off just as this son did and lived the way we wanted to. We did whatever it is we felt we wanted to do. And we see in the context of this story today that this lost son, in verse 13, he says, it wasn't long after he insisted that his father give him his share of the estate. This is something that's very relevant for us to understand, that this didn't usually take place until after the father was dead. But the father was still alive and the son was insisting that he get his share of things as if his father was dead. So the father had every right to refuse the son's request. But look at the heart of this father, saints of God. It is just like God is with us, even though we desire to do things our own way, and even though we don't have a right to do those things, God loves us enough to allow us to do to experience the freedom. God is not a God who binds us. He's not a God who makes us obey him. We have what we call free will. So even though the father could have insisted and could have denied the son's request, he allowed him to take his portion. And just as God allows us to make wrong decisions in life, not that God approves of our decisions, but God allows it. So the father, in this context, he allowed the son to get what he did not deserve and experience the freedom that he thought he would have. But we saw that it didn't quite work out the way the son would have anticipated. The son probably did not really appreciate the safety and security, the love and the protection that his father afforded him. For we see that in verse 13, it says, not long after he had received his undeserved inheritance, the son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country. And it says in verse 13 that while there, he squandered his wealth in wild living. He wasted all of the money he had experiencing the freedom that he thought he didn't have before. How many of you can understand what we're talking about here? Verse number 14, it says, and after he had spent everything, in other words, now he has nothing left. He has nothing left of the wealth that his father had given him. And plus, on top of that, there was a severe famine in the whole country that he decided to go to. And it says he began to be in need. Now, look at the situation here. This man has basically received a windfall of inheritance. We're talking financial, material blessings or giftings he has received, so much so that he could just live life without being without working, without applying himself to anything. It was just freely given to him, and he just freely squandered it away. But someone said but. But we see that after he had spent everything and the famine was in the country, he began to be in need. Verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. In other words, he went and got a job. Before, he didn't have to work. He just lived loose and did whatever he wanted to do. And the person that hired him sent him into the fields to feed pigs. Verse 16 says he longed to fill his stomach with the pods. He was hungry. He longed to feed his stomach with the food that was going into the pig's stomach, but no one would give him even that. It says in verse 16 that no one gave him anything. Verse 17, we see a change in the young man's thinking. We see a change in his attitude. We see a change that come about in his heart. But the change was precipitated by the hardships that he was going through. And sometimes God allows us to go through hardships. He allows us to go through situations that seem to seemingly against us. And sometimes we will think that, God, have you forgotten all about me? But verse 17, it says that when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? He remembered back in his father's household that his father had also had hired servants, and not only did the servants have enough food for themselves, but they had food to give away. He saw the plentifulness of his father's household, and he began to reminisce about his father's household. And he says, how many of my father's hired servants, in verse 17, have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. Here I am with nothing, and I had everything, but I gained all, but have nothing left. And so, verse 18, the young man says, I will set out. This is what we talked about. The word repent means to turn back. He basically repented. He says in verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him. And he rehearsed in his mind what he would say to the father, pretty much thinking that the father would be have to be convinced to love him, thinking that the father would have to be smoothed over in order for him to be accepted back into his father's household. So this is what he rehearsed that he would say to his father. He says, I would say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now listen to what he's saying. In his condition that he was in, having nothing to eat, feeding pigs, but not even having what the pigs were eating, he remembered that his father's hired servants had food to spare. So he says, if I could just go back and just be one of his servants, I would be a lot better off than I am right now. Somebody say a father's heart. So verse 20 says, he got up and went to his father. Now here's a story where we see almost a split screen. If you were looking at a television screen or a movie screen, you'll see the son on one side going through the hardship and coming to the reality that, as the scripture says, he come to his senses and realizing that I must go back to my father. Now, the father is not aware of any of this happening with his son, but you'll see on the other side of the screen a father praying and waiting and hoping that his son would return. And so verse 20, it says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, and some of us now are still a long way off. We still may be in the place where God did not desire us to be, but we've chosen to be there, and we're going through difficult times. We've tried to hire ourselves out, and but no one would give you anything, and you're in distress. I pray today that if you find yourself in a similar situation, whether your biological father is here or present, or you have a relationship with him or not, it would be great if that was the case, and you can pray for those relationships to be restored. But even if those relationships are not restored, or those relationships are not intact, if your father is deceased, then you still have a father that you can turn to. So it says the father, in the meantime, was waiting for his son, looking for his son, praying for his son. It says his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Now, this is the same son who, however many years, months, or weeks earlier, had turned his back on his father and basically said, you're dead to me. But we see the heart, the father's heart, on display in this particular portion of scripture. Look at the attitude of the father, that unceasing, never changing love. It says again, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now here's the son still thinking, I have to earn my father's love. I have to earn these. I don't deserve the love that a father is showing to me. I have to make it right with him. Saints of God, just coming back to the father makes it right with the father. But the son insisted in verse 21, remember what he had rehearsed while he was thinking about returning to his father. So he began to say, okay, let me go ahead and make this thing right. In verse number 21, it says, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Oh, thanks to God. We're talking today about a father's heart and how we need to learn to embrace the love of the father. The son at this point could not learn to embrace the love of the father, even as his father was embracing him. He had not learned how to embrace the love of the father, even as his father threw a robe on his back. And he could not learn to embrace the love of the father as the father put a ring on his finger. He did not know how to embrace the love of the father as the father declared, "Kill the fatted calf." But thanks to God, I pray today that each and every one of us will realize that even if we're not worthy, God loves us because God's grace is sufficient for us. Love isn't something you can earn. Love isn't something you can buy. The love of God is just there for us, constant, unceasing love. But the son was yet to realize that. And many people today, you may be alienated from biological parents or family members. And you may feel like you're all alone, that you have to do it yourself, but I pray that you'll get encouragement today as we go through this text, that God is there. God is waiting. He's looking. He's searching for you. And all you have to do is return back unto him. Somebody say, a father's heart. So it says in verse 21 again, the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said, someone said to me, with me, but the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate for this son of mine." You see, the father totally, I don't think he ignored what the son said, but he did not even consider the request as valid. How can a son be anything but a son? So the son says, "Just make me one of you. You can only be who God is, who you are with the father. You are God's child, and you're always going to be God's child." And the father basically says this to his son: "You've always been my son. You cannot be anything else but my son. That means I cannot be anything other than your father." So you see that the father says, put the best robe on him. Put the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, let's kill it, let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Oh, thanks to God. We ought to give God praise today that we're here. If you're listening to this message today, this could be the day that you realize that, you know, I'm living a life that my father, maybe biological and or spiritual father, does not agree with, but he has allowed me. I must learn to embrace the love that the father has for me. That way I don't have to walk around with the burden of guilt or shame and trying to do it on my own. As we see in the text, that this young man, even after things started to go wrong, he tried to do it on his own until he realized. In verse 17, until he came to his senses and said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare?" But I want you to know, just as the son found out in this story, he did not have to become employed by his father to have what his father had. For the heart of a father is for his children to enjoy what he has. And you don't have to earn it. You just have to be restored back to right relationship. Once the relationship is restored, things are restored to you. Now, while we see the celebration of the prodigal son had went off, remember in the beginning of our story that this man had two sons. Let's shift real quickly to the story about the other son who did not leave and see the heart of the father. See, a father's heart is constant in love. Whether you've done wrong or whether you've done right, he does not favor one or over the other. His love is just constant, abiding. So here we see the story where the prodigal son, the lost son, has come back. They're going to celebrate with the feast. And it says in verse 25, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Verse 27, your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father, someone said, So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Let's see the heart of the father. Verse 31, he said, my son. Just as the father's heart was toward the lost son, his heart was toward the one who was never lost. He says, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Not only a fattened calf, but everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I pray today that as you go through the scripture text that you won't just look at this as a story about your natural father, but also your spiritual father. God offers forgiveness. God offers grace, as we see to the younger son who went off and squandered his life, but came back. He celebrated his return. Just as the father tried to talk with the older son that to reassure him that my love for him is no greater or lesser than the love that I have for you. Just as he has everything that I have as my son, so do you. And this is the heart that God has for us, saints of God. I pray today that we will celebrate a happy Father's Day today. Whether your biological father relationship is right, whether he's deceased, you have a father whose love is constant for you. And just as God the Father in this story depicted, offered grace and forgiveness to the younger son, even though he had wrong him, he had done wrong. Most of us would think he deserved to go through what he went through, but God's heart, the heart of the Father, is not the way that we would normally respond. And so I pray today that we will embrace the love of the Father today on this Father's Day, and that this Father's Day wouldn't just be a common word we say, but it will indeed be a happy Father's Day. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor for what you're doing in our life.